I don't know historically whether February is supposed to be a good month or not, but the last month has been very turbulent, to say the least. David Bacher is the Chief Investment Officer at Corient Capital, and as per always, he's going to take us through what happened on investment markets in the month just passed. David, I know there's a saying, sell in May and go away, and there's also a kind of a sense that October is a bad month as well. But how does February usually perform?
Sure, I haven't looked at that statistically, so I'll have to come back to you on that question. But it certainly wasn't an easy month for investors. And I think the headline of a flat to slightly negative month for global equities distorts what was a lot of noise and a lot of different returns between countries and regions.
It's incredibly noisy at the moment, isn't it?
It is indeed. You get a headline every single day. We thought that would be the case when Trump was elected, and it's very important not to get sucked in and actually focus on what you think is a good investment strategy over the long term. And at Corient, we base that on valuations. So you've got to try and be a bit disciplined and stick to your knitting. And hopefully we do that on behalf of our clients.
Yeah, we've decided that instead of having our monthly portfolio update of our model portfolios, we're going to do it quarterly now, because it's so easy to get confused in a monthly basis. If you had taken a view a month ago and a view today on South Africa based on the noise coming out of the White House, you'd probably be heading for the hills and dropping all your South African equities, even though they aren't exactly expensive at the moment. And I guess we think that maybe that's going to help us to be a little bit more disciplined by only returning to it every 3 months rather than doing it every month. Of course, what we do here is we look at the past month, so we're not going to push this to a quarterly. But it is a way you do this every day. This is your job. This is what puts the bread on the table for the Bacher household. How do you keep yourself away from all the noise?
Well, I think sticking to our theme of the report we're going to going through now, from our side, it's always important to focus on the forest and not on the falling leaves. And although there's lots of leaves falling, you got to try and just stick to what you believe in will work over the long term. As I said earlier, it is incredibly difficult at this moment, but in difficult times and times of volatility also creates opportunities. So when you see assets and prices move 3 or 4% in a couple of days on the headline news that you think is more noise, then you must actually embrace that volatility. Those are the times where people are panicking, and if you believe that it will play out in a reasonable manner over the longer term, then embrace that volatility. Buy into an asset that you think is cheap, and on the contrary, do the same on the opposite. So, it is difficult, challenging times, but at us at Corient, we actually see it as quite exciting times to actually provide value for our clients.
Yeah, this is where the professionals actually do shape, or the good guys do shape. But just to reemphasize what you said earlier, yesterday, NVIDIA, last night, while we were sleeping, some of us, NVIDIA's share price was down 8.5%. Apple was down 1.5%. Amazon down 3.5%. And these are massive, massive moves. The decline in value terms is just huge. So stay on the sidelines. Just know what you're doing. When you see it comes down to within your area that you feel that asset is now offering great value, that's when you move. I love this illustration that you gave us of, to see the forest, don't see the falling leaves. But let's have a look at the big markets and the performance thereof.
Yes, so as I said earlier, it was an environment where if you looked at the headline number, what the global equities did, I think it was slightly down about 0.5%. You would think it's quite a benign, uneventful month, but that hides a lot of the noise, and you had massive dispersion of returns. We had China up 11%, while India, for example, which was the darling of emerging markets, was down 8%. So, you know, you have a 20% dispersion of returns. And, you know, that to us is an environment of opportunity. And if you look at what we've been saying over some time, is that China, its valuations and its equity market performance over the last few years has been very, very challenging, but they are priced, we believe, for upside. And thankfully, we saw that last month. And in contrast, India is the opposite. So at some point in time, valuation matters. And I think that's what we saw in February.
Reversion to the mean, as you say. In your field, in the investment field, there's been a lot of excitement about Bitcoin in recent times. We've got Stafford Marcy talking at the conference, at the Business News conference next week, David. It's arrived so quickly, and he's going to be talking, presumably, that it's offering great value at the moment after a big drawdown. Why do you guys call it drawdowns, by the way? Why don't you just say loss or fall?
You'll have to ask other people for that. I've just come accustomed to it. There's no draw ups, I suppose. So it's a good question. But on Bitcoin, I mean, you look at what happened last month. It was down about 20%. That was till Friday. Then Saturday, Trump comes out with some announcements about including Bitcoin in Federal Reserves, and it was up 10% overnight. And I see it's down 10% or 8% today. So it's a hell of a volatile, speculative assets still, and you've got to be very careful in investing those kind of assets. Yes, they might have its play, and it has created a lot of wealth for people, but it comes with great risk and volatility and uncertainty. And you know, we'll really guard people from getting too excited and putting too much of their savings in an asset with such volatility.
I really like what we have in the BizNews portfolios, because we started off with a very small percentage of 2%. And in fact, in the one portfolio, that is what we've got there. And on the one portfolio, it's done terribly well. So now you're sitting at 10%. So if it goes from 10 to 8, you don't really mind, because you know you started at 2. But I guess if you're jumping in at the top, it's not so easy. But gold's had a very steady run, and you almost feel like maybe the old girl is the place to be putting it, rather than the young buck of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone up for almost 2.5 times or 2 times in the last year. So it's really had a great run on the back of, you know, inflationary concerns and sustained potential inflation. So, you know, if you hold gold spot or even gold shares, which will get more leverage, you would have done incredibly well.
You have used a theme of bears in your presentation this month. Does that mean that the Corian team says the bull's out the room?
We use the bears for a number of reasons. It's almost a story wrote itself. I mean, from highlighting, and you'll see in the presentation later, the bear necessities of electricity delivery to a potential market trap that we think has been formulated in certain, or the risks of a market trap has been escalating in certain regions. You know, we thought that the bear analogy was the way to go. So it's not just that we think that there was a potential bear market around the corner, but other reasons too.
And clearly what happened in the US over the past week is occupying a lot of minds. We've got a brilliant piece on BizNews Premium written by Irina Filatova, who is Russian. She's a Russian-South African. She studied there. She was a professor at Moscow University before coming to South Africa. And her whole thesis on this is that Putin says he doesn't want Zelensky. He won't do a deal while Zelensky's there, because Zelensky has been the face of resistance. And as a consequence, that's what Trump's intending to do, get rid of Zelensky, then he can do a deal with Russia and stop the war.
Correct. I mean, it's really hard to read, and it's actually quite sad to see in certain circumstances. So, you know, what investors don't want is uncertainty, and Donald Trump's approach to international affairs is, I think, perceived by many as unsettling for investors. I mean, his administration is characterized by big announcements, sudden shifts in policy, and big public statements. And that's not a climate for investors who seek stable and predictable returns.
Onto the bear traps, as you call them in the image that we have on the screen. Now, I was listening to the interview that Merrin had with Jeremy Grantham, who's been a super bear for a long, long time. And he says that at the moment, in his estimation, the US stock market is more expensive than it was in 1929. And anyone who's read any history will recall that 1929, they still refer to as the Great Crash. Is this what you're showing us here?
Look, what we're trying to illustrate is that risks are elevated. We're not predicting a market crash. It's very hard to predict that. But what we are showing, and we show a graph of what's called the CAPE ratio, which was developed by economist Robert Shiller, which goes back, you know, more than 100 years of data, where they smooth out earnings and take into account inflation and take into account 10 years of earnings versus what you pay for an asset today. And they've rolled that back, as I said, I think 1910. And what it shows is this CAPE-Shiller P ratio is, you know, market crashes and big market setbacks happen when the ratio is at elevated levels. In 1929, it was at 32. In the so-called Nifty 50 bubble, it was at 22. Dot-com, it was 44. And where we are now is about 37. And so on the basis of that, you know, it suggests that potential for high returns going forward is subdued.
Yeah, and it is higher on this CAPE ratio than it was in 1929. So you have been warned. The budget here in South Africa, my goodness. I happen to have the benefit of not going into lockup for the first time in ages because I was abroad. I was away at the ARC conference. But what a disappointment that was. And I suppose not just a disappointment, a bit of a shock.
It was. I mean, what I said about investors liking certainty and predictability, and that was in reference to the US, the same thing and even more relevant is our leadership and our budget policies. And no one likes uncertainty. We need to have a budget and a framework where everyone knows what we're trying to achieve, that's easier to implement, and the country can get behind. And certainly when your cabinet or government are debating internally what's the right policy, that just creates further tailwinds, headwinds.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens on the 12th, because the DA has once again reaffirmed it will not stand for an increase, any increase in VAT. And Cyril Ramaphosa is edging now to say, well, 0.75 percentage point down from the 2 percentage point before. It's a little bit like politicians play that game, don't they, David? They'll throw out a big number, everyone's shock horror, and then, oh, you know, 0.75 percent, that's okay. It's not the 2 percentage points that we were thinking about. But interesting to see that the DA is now, this time anyway, putting their foot down. What happens? What would happen to investment markets if there was a collapse of the government of national unity over this?
I think it will be perceived very, very negative. What you can just see is how the markets behave since the government of national unity. South African shares have done well. Interest rate sensitive shares particularly have done well. Bond yields have come down. So that just immediately tells you that the market was very happy with a government of national unity. The necessary checks and balances and maybe more fiscal discipline was what the market wanted and what they thought they would achieve with a government of national unity. If that fades away, well, then, you know, certainly that assumption goes out the window. You would expect bond yields to tick up, cost of financing ticks up, and a much more difficult environment for both bond markets and South African equities.
For those who are a little confused by the image that's on the screen, which is a blank page under a comprehensive budget review, well, David said, because there wasn't a budget, was there? On to South African equities and bonds. In the past month, despite all the turbulence, it was flat.
Correct. Our market was hit particularly hard by resource shares, which globally were under pressure. financials were a bit flat to negative. What helped our market was actually the big heavyweights such as Naspers and Process, which did well on the back of the China run that I alluded to earlier.
Yeah, and that has been a top performer of late, Naspers, Process, that combine. On to the best performers on the JSE in the past months. You want to take us through those that did add to your spending power?
Yes, it's all three shares, and we show that AB InBev was the leading big share in the market that delivered or returned 21%, followed by Discovery and OUTsurance, who delivered 13 to 14% for investors. All three shares came out with good trading updates. AB InBev in particular, their results were well ahead of expectations, and the market was fearing, you know, that they got a high level of debt and probably potential balance sheet weakness. But given their results and their free cash generation was strong, so you know that share ran very strong on the back of those news, and they also raised it at dividend, which you know, investors certainly like dividends. So that was the reason why AB InBev ran, and both Discovery and OUTsurance came out with good operating results. As I said, environment's been good. Premiums have been stronger than expected. So both insurance companies rallied as a result.
But it is interesting to see how these disruptors, Discovery has been around a while, but it is still a disruptor in financial services space. And of course, OUTsurance, which is a more recent entry, that they seem to be appreciated by investors much more than the legacy brands, if you like.
Yes, I mean, Discovery, I would say over the last, going back 5-7 years, actually hasn't performed as well as one would have expected. And I think the reason for that is what you alluded to, is they were the big disruption. And with big disruption and big earnings growth 7 years ago and gaining market share, it was then that investors really started to pile into those shares. And the old lesson of, you know, when you disrupt and there's a good story, sometimes investors get ahead of themselves and their valuations went and their PE ratios, et cetera, went to very stretched levels. And you know, although they've done really, really well, to the extent to which the future earnings of the last 5 years relative to the price those investors paid for, I would say was disappointing. So yes, a very disruptive firm and they've done really, really well, but yeah, good shares and good companies sometimes are different things.
And on to the losers of the past month, all in the resources stocks.
Correct. I think all three shares, we illustrate Harmony, Sibanye, and Northam being under pressure. All of them also came up with results, trading results. Some of them alluded to, you know, electricity problems and the heightened cost of inflation and the electricity tariff hikes impacting their companies. And so combination of low PGM prices, difficult operating environments, inflationary concerns, and that's not a great ingredient for those shares.
And to close off with Eskom, level 6 load shedding. So just when you thought it was safe to reinvest in power tools and the factories that can participate well on reliable electricity, Eskom says not so fast.
Correct. You would think we've had enough challenges over this last month or certainly the last few years. 2 weeks ago when we went back to stage 4, load shedding, that was unexpected and a reminder that the troubles of Eskom is certainly not behind us. We've still got big challenges and you know the impact of further load shedding could be dire on our economic growth and job creation.
David, there are a lot of investors who are sitting back and saying, I'm really worried about South African equities because of the fight that's going on between Pretoria and Washington. Should they be?
I think they should be. I think that you must always understand what your underlying asset you are investing into. So you must also take some comfort that South African shares have a lot of overseas companies, a lot of resource companies in that kind of environment. You know, the rand should sell off, which actually, you know, will be good for those companies who earn a lot of foreign revenue, etc. So I think we are blessed with a certain type of balancing force in our market. So just because we invest in South African equities, you've got to go a bit deeper and see what kind of equities you're investing in. And then you also have to take into account what the market does and what is discounting. So the risks that you allude to, I think everyone is worried about and should be in the price. So just because there is a perceived risk doesn't mean that the market isn't efficient and has priced that for those risks. But what I would say is, and I think this is just common advice for most investments over all times, is, you know, diversification is key, but specifically when there's such uncertainty both on the local and global side. So don't put all your eggs in one basket, and make sure that you know are suitably diversified and also investing in regions that probably haven't run as much as they did in the last couple of years.
But in essence, the dogs will bark in Pretoria, in Washington, but the caravan is going to move on. So as a consequence of that, don't panic. And I suppose what you've explained to us as well is that being invested on JSE listed shares, you've got a shock absorber, and that's called the rand.
Correct. And you also got to think, well, where do you invest? So, I'll take my money out of South African equities if you're just talking equities alone. But the US market has appreciated 20% 2 years in a row, lofty valuations, and it's got its own problems and noise. From a Korean perspective, we overweight China, and that's playing out nicely for us. But there, they've got their own risks and their own political instability. So we don't live in a vacuum. We don't have problems that are just unique to South Africa. It's an environment where there's lots of noise everywhere, and you need to take that into account.
David Wacher is the Chief Investment Officer of Corian Capital, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.